Right.
Oh, now I can read it.
Sure.
Welcome to
Minute. Let's all read it together.
Ready? On three. One, two, three.
Welcome to Minute Impossible.
What are we doing?
Your mission
is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise one minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
Glad we all said I'm Jonathan. You idiots.
That's what it says. I'm reading the script.
Great job, guys. Nailed it in one.
Friday, it's Fan Fiction Friday. Everybody can't fight the fiction. Is everybody excited?
I am. I don't know what this is going to be yet.
Yeah, the best part is when you tell someone it's Fan Fiction Friday, they're like, I don't know how to feel about that. You're like, yeah, it's going to be great. It's our end of the week. We are talking about minute 15. Minute 15 begins with them with Luther with his hands on them red balls, and ends with a weird thing stuck to the side of a pole.
As it normally does in a J.J. Abrams movie. Some weird thing stuck to a pole.
I thought seeing the guns being set up was great. Seeing the guns being used, oh, this is the greatest.
I loved it 25 years ago when Aliens did it first.
Yeah, that is definitely the Aliens robot gun
sentry gun
turret sound. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
So good.
These guns have heat vision. These guns have, I don't know what. The HUD
motion
on this
tracking.
Thing is insane. Motion tracking. Luther starts rubbing them balls, and they whir to life as Ethan enters the building to go get back Agent Ferris.
Felicity.
And
he's going to have to save Ferris.
Oh, dang. We already made that joke. Nice try, Murray.
Oh, I haven't listened to that episode yet because you haven't.
It hasn't come out yet.
Now, are we talking about Save Ferris from Ferris Bueller or the band Save Ferris?
I guess both. I mean, I think the band is named after Ferris Bueller. So.
Yeah. I've met Monique from Save Ferris many times in the Inland Empire. She was really very nice, actually.
Cool.
That's a really interesting story about a celebrity. Does anyone else have one?
Oh, it's funny you should mention that.
I've got plenty, but we won't talk about that.
Chris's are all he called, you know, Mel Gibson a shitbird, and then he like accosted him in the bathroom. That's all Chris's from.
That's from college, though. I got
legally, you can't tell those.
I'm not allowed to tell. I got NDAs or The Simpsons stole my story. You know, that sort of thing.
But I think Murren did actually have a story that the last one that we didn't tell in the last episode.
Oh, yes, yeah. Go on.
So, I mean, I know Philip Seymour Hoffman isn't in any of these minutes, but I love his portrayal of Owen Davian. I think it's a great piece of acting. I love how bored he is, as I said. I feel like should we make everyone do a Owen Davian impression in this? Like we make Vin Diesel? Where's the rabbit's foot? Where's the rabbit's foot?
That's not bad.
Where's the rabbit's foot?
You got a wife? I'm Bill Clinton. You got a wife? Bill Clinton. You got a girlfriend?
You got a wife? No, really. Do you have a wife?
Do you have a wife?
Are you married? No, really. Are you 18? Johan, do Owen Davian.
Ah, God dang it.
You got a pretty mouth, Ethan, huh?
I don't want to sound so perverted.
Can you say like, where's the rabbit's foot?
Where's the rabbit's foot?
Oh, you've got enough energy for it. That's close.
It's close.
Yeah. That's
close.
Yeah, not bad. You have the right. You're in the zone.
You're the right energy.
Where's the rabbit?
I figured that was close enough. Well, should we mumble it? That's almost.
That's what Philip Seymour Hoffman said at the end of the take. Close enough. Sure. Good. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, I like it. So what were you going to tell? Tell a story?
No, I'm building up anticipation.
No, you're not. You're stalling.
Just like J.J. Abrams builds up stalling? The tension of the scene.
Do you and actually not have a story?
Okay, so I'm an actor. I've trod the boards, much like
you can tell because he said
like
actor.
Mr. Hoffman himself. Yeah.
Genius.
And in class, once a teacher of mine told a story about him. This is a secondhand story. A teacher of mine met him in New York. He was working in New York. He was a young actor, and he met up with this friend of his who was like, "Okay, you're new here. We got to do this thing." Philip Seymour Hoffman holds these dinners once a week, or he invites all his actor friends and people who like sort of know about it. You have to know about it, or else.
And this is Philip Seymour Hoffman at the height of being who he was, being like a big deal.
It's probably around this time, I imagine, probably like mid-2000s. Okay. I don't know for sure. It might have been later. Okay. When did he die? 2015, somewhere around there? I don't remember. Anyway,
he died.
What?
What?
He dies.
This is brand new information.
The spoiler about the film, guys. Come on.
Yeah. he reenacted.
Yeah, that's not real.
He died.
That's not real.
Reenacting his favorite scene that he'd ever did, where he was killed as Owen Davian.
Murren thinks that when you die in a movie, you die in real life.
You know, that's a dream. That's dream world.
Dreamscape.
Yeah, I'm a Lars von Trier's best fan. He invites people over. He has a big dinner in this big, like, banquet hall with a long table like a freaking king. And they go to this thing, and they can't find it. Like, they're looking around. Oh, I knew where it was, but I can't find it. They finally get there. And because they're late, everyone has rules for when you're late. The rule, Philip Seymour Hoffman's rule for when you're late, is you have to get up on the table and do a dance for everyone. So my acting teacher had to get up on this big table. I'm imagining it's like a long oak table, like from Batman 89. And he has to do a dance for everyone, including Philip Seymour Hoffman. So there you go.
Okay. What dance would you do for Philip Seymour Hoffman? What, like, you don't have to, I mean, explain it. Like, I mean, are you talking about, like, the white man's overbite? Like, that one, the, you know, like, the making the...
Or the tequila dance from Pee-wee.
Yeah, that would have been my first thought.
Yeah, my first thought, too.
Yeah, or do some light pop locking.
Mine's always the robot. Mine's always going to start with a robot, so I don't really know where I'm going to go after that.
I'd probably just pull my pants down and take out my thing and say, "I'm a star," like at the end
Your
of Boogie
thing?
Nights.
Like a little Fantastic Four toy.
I always forget what words I could say on this.
Yeah. He carries a Ben Grimm with him everywhere. Here's
we
my
definitely
thing.
Won't let you say genitals.
That's so gross.
Or hog. Oh my god! Did you just say you pull out your thing?
I was gonna say dick, and then I was like, I don't know.
You can say that.
Okay,
it's fine. My nephew no longer listens because his father doesn't drive him to work to school anymore. So it's fine.
The one underage listener is gone.
No one gets driven to school anymore.
No. That's true.
No.
That's true.
That was in the way, way back time.
Holy shit.
All right. Philip Seymour, yeah. So that's the story of where the rabbit's foot came
from. I have the same story with Philip Seymour Hoffman. How funny is that?
is that why you call your thing the rabbit's foot, Murren?
Yeah, that's true.
Where's rabbit foot?
That's foreplay for Murren. It's
yeah, that's
foot?
What I did. I got up and I danced. I pulled down my pants and I said, "There's your rabbit's foot. It's right there."
You've been looking for it the whole time. Foot and a half, whatever.
It all works.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that was a bizarre story.
Yeah.
Very eyes wide shut level story, which kind of works with what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ethan is going into the Berlin warehouse. I almost want to see a rave going on in the background. Yeah, you know, like. I think we're in here with a rave.
Are they there? I saw some train tracks earlier. Are they at like a train station or something?
They're at the metro.
Well, yeah, went to a transpo confo, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
they're basically where they. Truthfully, I don't even know if they're in Germany at this point, or if we're in that same damn warehouse that J.J. Abrams always uses for everything ever.
That kind of annoys me about him is that he's like, "Oh, well, we need this shot. Let's just shoot it here. Let's just shoot it here in the place." And I'm like. No, we can tell it's that same place. Well, at least I can.
that giant warehouse that he used for the where the landing pad in Star Trek, where all the ships are before mm-hmm. they go off.
Yeah,
and they used it for something else too.
Somewhere in Star Wars, I'm sure.
I can't remember what it's for. Yeah, I can't remember what it's for. So that's what I was first was thinking. Like, is this an actual German whatever? I mean, it's gross.
Probably
it's
L.A. of somewhere in L.A. because he doesn't really leave L.A. most of the time. If he doesn't have to.
So yeah, they come in, and when Ethan gets in there, they've got their call signs. Did you hear their call signs?
Maverick.
Ethan's call sign. No, I wish it's Raider One, which is pretty damn cool. Raider One.
Raider One.
And Luther's is Observer. Not as good, but
that's kind of just literally what he's doing.
I can't wait as we go through this episode to find out what the other people's names are.
Thing
wallpaper,
one, thing two.
Wallpaper, and
chili, Batman. Chili fries three.
Yeah, it's weird that it's Raider One.
Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah, Wiener Schnitzel. He's got the most badass one, and the other one's like, I'm book reader. I'm stool.
Stool. Stool four.
I'm hyper intelligent chopper pilot.
Candy.
I'm taco wrapper. Who came up with these call signs? I did.
Brick Hut.
I came up with it. Can we get
the don't
words?
Have Pizza no. Hut in Germany. We have Brick Hut. You get bricks. Hot bricks.
Yo, Brick Hut from now on. One cool thing about those guns, vascular ID confirmed.
Yeah, I very had a question
cool.
about that.
Yeah,
no,
go for it.
It's not cool.
It's cool. Shut up.
All right. First off, she's pre-hypertension with 132 over 91. I don't understand how they can track her vascular ID with how they're doing this because it's her circulatory system. So that means they would have to track every single capillary and artery and say, oh, this is a perfect match for someone that's sitting down to be the person that we know.
When Jessa went to, I was going to say culinary school, cosmetology school.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
Either way, she went to school and everyone had to sign in. And the way they signed in at that school was with vascular ID. They put your hand under a thing and it would read your veins.
What?
Yeah. So that's but it wasn't from, 50 feet away through a wall.
Yeah. But then the thing is with that blood pressure, it shouldn't be the same as what they may have on record because she's stressed out.
Yeah. So,
is your blood pressure, though, your vascular, is that your
it would
vascular
be part of,
identity?
It would be part of it. But, okay, so let's think about this with the stuff because I'm going through medical assisting. So your veins would expand because she's under so much pressure. It should actually change your vascular ID. So they should be different. So it shouldn't match in a way if you can get the blood pressure that high. So it should technically be different. There should be a pulse rate or some sort of vital sign. And it's weird with the squares that they're showing because they aren't showing all the places where there should actually be a pulse. Like one should be by the foot, etc. It's just weird what they're measuring.
I'm glad Luther doesn't have it pointed at him.
Yeah.
It would be like, oh no, Luther.
150 over 110. I don't know.
That's fine, right? I think that's fine right now.
I guess it's cool, but it shouldn't be 100% correct because it's also outlining her jawbone, which has no real capillary that you would measure what they're looking for. It's just cool looking. That's all it is. But
sure.
Yeah. But what it's actually doing
I don't like that you've poked holes in it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hate this movie now. It doesn't make any sense anymore.
The vascular ID just ruined it for me. All right, now I changed my ranking. 1, 2, 3 for my favorites.
Yeah, just the vascular ID thing was the one thing that I thought worked for it, but nope. It's on now.
Yeah, so they've locked on to Agent Ferris. They're going to go save her. And Ethan runs up to a bunch of, there's a wall, and he's placing basically what all I could write down was Axe body spray bomb. That's what it looks like. It looks like a can of Axe body spray that's magnetic.
Have you ever been in a gym where the Axe body spray actually gets punctured and it gets everywhere?
First of all, you just said, have you ever been in a gym? I'm going to stop you there. All right. You've seen me. You know I haven't. How dare you?
That's true. You didn't participate in the Tom Cruise run.
No, I taped it.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
I'm an auteur.
All right.
I made you monkeys run. It would not be pretty.
No, it isn't. So it's equivalent.
Yeah. So it's such a cool shot. I love this. Is 2006. When did the I keep wanting to say the Equalizer, but not the Equalizer. When did the Eraser come out? Eraser, whatever.
1996.
Yeah, that was way earlier.
But remember that gun? Remember they had those big ass guns that basically did this, saw through walls and shot you in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's basically a vascular test tracking, like 50 caliber gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a rail gun.
They kind of do that in Thunderbolt and Lightfoot too. They get that big gun to blow up in the safe. That's like a cannon almost. I think I'd have to look at it again.
What are the other things? I was trying to see the other things on the robotic gun, and I couldn't actually see any of the other stuff. Did we miss talking about anything that was on the gun? There is an actual antenna, so we know that there is a. It's probably radio powered, which kind of sucks. Do you think it's internet powered? Do you think it's powered by the power of internet in the middle of the sticks?
What was the bandwidth, like 1G?
I don't know. I don't know. This gun's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Also, no one talks about it, but the gyroscope and movement of this gun. Do you know how heavy this tripod would be? Because remember, he carries the gun by itself,
mm-hmm.
basically. And then he puts it on this tripod and then adds the two side canisters for the rounds.
Oh, so he had to set up the tripods and then get the guns. So that was like 8 trips.
Yeah, we've gone back.
He had to scurry around that parking lot or that lot quite a bit.
Wait, do you think Luther didn't help him at all?
Luther definitely not help him at all.
Yeah. No way, Luther.
He only had a 6. Yeah, he only had a 6. He stood back there.
Don't check my vascular right now, but I cannot help you in case you're wondering.
My blood pressure is 181 over 120.
Myron, what does this do for you? I mean, high blood pressure is a silent bad guy. I mean,
he's a true villain.
Did that make 3?
Yeah.
That was Philip Seymour Hoffman's 3-1-2. Next role. He was going to play high blood pressure in the new James Bond, but he passed away from high blood pressure, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's why he passed away.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it was a symptom. I going to say? Jesus Christ. I was going to say, because that's when Tom Cruise says, like, he says, like, I got your 6. He's like, that's your job. My job is running around carrying all this heavy equipment while you sit there and wait for me.
Starting to make sense now.
Yeah, that's why he got a chip on his shoulder.
I've been running around for the past 3 hours getting this set up for you.
They started at sunrise, not sundown, because he's just been setting it up this whole time.
Well, they're in a different country also.
Now, all the bad guys have just been looking out the window. What are they doing? Jesus, it's taking forever.
The guy's been out there screwing around for like 20 minutes. Is that guy going to help? Wow, he's not. What a dick move.
Oh,
my
God. Those guns must have vascular identification. Let's do something to her vascular ID.
Everyone, run around.
Push her around. Hang her off the roof, you know, something like that.
I don't even know what the vascular things are. I'm not an EMT. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I think I shot this thing up her nose by accident, though. Oops.
All right.
So Carrie Russell, we see a picture of her.
We do see a picture. Have you done your tentative grasp at wanting to talk about Carrie Russell?
you see her face.
Okay.
We've been talking about her
dancing on her table.
I also see her vascular system.
Yeah, you see her vascular system.
She's not a piece of meat, Myron. Stop gawking at her vascular system.
I'm trying to download a JPEG of her vascular system right
my
now.
My vascular system is up here, Myron.
Now, Carrie Russell is a cool, nice person who does nice things.
Do you have a story about someone else meeting her?
She's got a story dancing on her table, too.
No, I was
Myron's stories are all adjacent. They're all like, I had a friend who met her once.
Oh, gotcha.
Cool. Tell it.
No, I don't have any Kerry Russell stories. I just like I just really like Kerry Russell. I was gonna I like doing this now that when I'm on a guest. I'm gonna quiz you. This is from I stole this from another podcast. What's that podcast called? I forget right now. But what we want to take a guess at what the top four known for films that Kerry Russell has on her IMDb?
Okay, top four films.
They're all films, no TV.
Rise of Skywalker.
No.
Ooh. Mission Impossible 3.
Yes, Mission Impossible 3 is one of them.
8 days a week.
Nope.
Oh. What the hell else is she in?
I'm doing this because it's kind of tough. She has a weird filmography.
I actually can't even think of...
The Felicity movie. That I'm sure they did.
Anything J.J. Abrams made.
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, the only one is Mission Impossible 3. That's J.J. Abrams.
Waitress?
Waitress is one of them, yes.
I'm going through my head thinking what you got two. She's been in.
Butler. I'm just naming
putting words
the
out.
The Planet of the Apes movie she was in?
Yes, Manny. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh,
good job, Chris.
Oh, God, I forgot she was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fourth one, I would be very surprised. I've never heard of this.
Okay, the Bedtime Stories or August Rush?
No, it's called Dark Skies.
Oh, yeah.
From
Dark
2013.
Skies. I remember that.
Oh.
I have no idea.
That came like straight to video out here.
Yeah, it was like one of the dudes that was on the OC was in that film.
Sure. Yeah, Josh Hamilton, I think. So yeah, that's there's only one Waitress where she's like, well, I guess Dark Skies, I think she's kind of the star, but I always feel like when I see Kerry Russell, I feel like she should have her own franchise or something. Like she's so cool and pretty
she was called Felicity.
Yeah.
And the Americans.
And the Americans, yeah.
She's done TV. She's done TV, I guess. She's been very successful in TV.
TV's the new prestige.
TV is the new prestige.
And she's not really a movie star per se, you know? She's
but I think she like should a, be. That's what I'm saying.
They recast What's-Her-Face from Thor, she could be Thor's girlfriend. Is she old enough? Is she the right age? She's too old.
She's too old.
She's aging very well, though. She can play younger.
Yeah.
She could be.
Just put a mask on her, like in Star Wars.
Put a mask on her. Jesus, Murren.
And then when they take the mask off,
she's got her
eyeliner on.
Take away her femininity and put a mask on her. I'm Murren. And I'm also McGruff the Crime Dog.
Ruff, ruff, ruff. Only you can prevent forest fires. Oh, wait, no, that's just the other one.
Oh, she was part of the all-new Mickey Mouse Club. I didn't know that.
Yes, cool. With Ryan Gosling and Christina Aguilera.
That's because she was wearing the Mickey Mouse mask, Murren.
She wore the Mickey Mouse mask in the
back.
When
they saw her, they're like, put a mask on her.
Put a mask on her.
Literally the only reason why my cousin watched that Mickey Mouse club was because of her. And then he ended up watching Felicity because of her. Yeah, a huge crush on her.
I feel like those are all legit choices.
Yep.
Yeah, well, Felicity was cute.
Yeah.
Cute show. All right. I don't care anymore about cuteness. All I care about is hardcore fan fiction. Do you guys want to go and fanfic with me right now?
Don't get wake up for the fiction.
Get down with the fiction.
Get fight the friction!
All right, we are in Fan Fiction Friday. Feels good. Murren, put that away.
Participating with fan fiction.
Murren, put your thing away. We're going to do some Fan Fiction Friday. Okay?
I'll put away my rabbit's foot.
Put away your rabbit's foot. All right, guys, we are near the end of this.
You
this is fan
sound like Bill Clinton.
Yeah, that's where it goes.
Look,
put away the rabbit's foot.
We're doing Fan Fiction Friday. Not because it is easy, but because it is hard.
And I like it hard.
I'm hard. Murren, put your thing away, please. This is Mission Impossible 3? By Dancing Bohemian. We have gone so far.
Three?
We have finished Uncertain Beginnings. We are about to finish the second chapter, Naya Has a Friend.
Naya makes a friend.
Makes a friend.
Have you read this disclaimer before? Are these on all of them? Because this is very amusing.
Yes. Yeah.
I read the disclaimer earlier.
These are old.
Yeah. 2002. Wow. So this isn't Mission. So this is like written after Mission Impossible 2 came out. This is like the fan fiction sequel. It's not based on this movie. It's like what this movie could have been.
It's the rejected draft.
I actually am going to read this author's note from, this is more recently after they wrote it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It says, yay, you guys like it. Hee hee, seriously though, the reviews and the quest for more were so encouraging and uplifting. She hasn't written anymore, just so you know, in 8 years. That I felt guilty for not being able to write more right away.
Okay. You mean 18 years if this was 2002?
Oh, you're right. Sorry. 18 years. Even though it's summer, I'm not sure how often I'll be able to update, but I'll do my best. Well,
as we know,
that never happened. So this little piece of gold is going to be done at the end of this episode, and then we will go on to some other fan fiction. So let me get you guys into this. I actually got to kind of look real quick. All right. We're going to start where we were, hopefully. I will read the stage direction, and if you guys want to jump in, please do. If you want to decide who wants to
read this, like a radio play.
Yeah, it's like a radio play.
Where are we starting?
Who's doing the Foley work?
What has happened is to get us where we are. Ethan and his girlfriend have had a fight, and now he is talking with Naya at the. He's at work the next day. The meeting had gone smoothly. After Nya's entrance and Ethan's initial shock, he had given Manning his full attention, asking the appropriate questions and asserting his own opinions. I like that they don't write that in dialogue. They just tell us.
The meeting had gone smoothly.
The meeting had gone smoothly. Take my word for it.
He asked
as
the right
narrator.
Questions, and he gave his own opinions.
He's even exchanged some easy banter with McIntyre. Everything he normally did, yes, the meeting had gone surprisingly smoothly. Too smoothly, Naya thought. She rounded the corner, halting when she saw him.
Ethan!
She called out in the parking lot. Her voice echoed. Oh, sorry. Say that again, please.
Ethan.
Her voice echoed, reverberating through against the painted white cement until it was only a hollow imitation of herself.
Huh? How does that happen?
He stopped quietly. Okay. His back to her.
Yes?
Wait. Who?
Oh, is that Ethan?
This is two different people.
Who says that? Is that Ethan talking?
Yes, that's Ethan.
Okay. Yes?
She recognized the dangerous edge in his tone, but swallowed.
Oh, let me try that again. Yes?
You don't get to do it.
No, I didn't.
I know you're an actual professional voiceover.
I needed
actor.
To put in the dangerous edge.
Oh, well, see, you're not going to know your motivation until after you say it, because that's how she writes. Okay. She doesn't put it ahead of it. She puts it after. An IMF agent didn't back down, she told herself, and that's what she was now, looking at the camera, basically. I'm now in the IMF.
Aren't we going to discuss this?
He clenched his jaw before answering.
Oh, there's a good direction. I wasn't aware there was anything to discuss.
The blunt dismissal stung.
Ethan.
I won't be home till late.
Why would he tell her that? He doesn't live with Naya.
I don't know.
He lives with another woman.
Did we find that on the previous chapter?
Yes.
Okay. I thought the other woman was Naya.
What? No. God,
so
what?
Confused.
Okay. That isn't. Then why was he? No.
Yes, that's the point. That's why he was surprised when she showed up. Was that it was Naya. He just told her that he was going to be late.
No.
Is this like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith? They both left the house at the same time and turns out they're agents and then they're meeting there?
Are you kidding me, Chris? No. When he got back to the house after killing that guy with a hatchet, he had pillow talk with some woman. And
that
then
was Naya.
No, Naya, he sees at work the next day, and that's why he's not surprised because it's the woman he's sleeping with. It's surprised because it's Naya.
The woman he's sleeping with.
Oh, my God. We'll find out.
Okay. Well, if they live together, why aren't they leaving together?
Yeah.
Why does he say I won't be home till late?
But you drove. We carpooled to this mission.
Okay. I won't be home till late. And that, she knew, was the last word. She watched him back move farther and farther away. She watched his back move farther and farther away.
The rest of them stayed right there.
What she's trying to say is that he's walking away from her, but she said it as she watched his back move farther and farther away.
Goddamn
leg. I guess
leg.
That is true.
I hate to see you leave, but I love to watch you go.
No, I'd love to watch you go farther and farther,
farther
away.
Farther and farther away.
Listening to the calm, steady click of his shoes because he's wearing high heels on the pavement.
Or his tap
he's
shoes.
He's wearing tap shoes to a mission.
She heard a door close and a car screech, assuming that was the door to the car. She heard a door close and a car screech angrily out of the lot and into the street. She heard the scared, enraged honking of startled drivers. Meep. Have you ever heard scared honking?
Meep, meep.
Meep, meep.
Yeah.
Meep,
meep. You know what I mean? Like the honking of the car seems scared and enraged. It's like, you have a beep, and this one was like, beep?
Then she heard put her face in her hands and stood there, trying not to weep. All right. Nothing more was said about it. Okay. So, they do live together.
See?
Do they?
Huh? Yeah, it's because they said wedding presents.
What?
Read the next sentence. Read the next.
Stop reading ahead. Of all the ways Nia had pictured it playing out.
Why is that line double spaced so far ahead and then it's this one?
Because that's the end of a chapter for this maniac.
That's a weird beginning to another chapter.
Yep. Why is that a problem now?
Because the beginning of this chapter is like it ended.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Everything she writes is in small little blurbs, like she just had a thought.
Yeah.
All right. That's how it works. Of all the ways Nia had pictured it playing out, the tense omission of the subject had been ruled least likely and least pleasant. Jesus, a lot for me to read. What the hell?
What does that sentence mean? The tense omission of the subject had been. Okay.
She had hoped for a heated argument. There
least
you go.
Likely
that makes
maybe
sense,
even the hurling of a few handy household items. That ugly pink lamp they'd been given at a wedding present. Thank you, Chris. They've lived together the whole time. I'm sorry, but we're all over a month in, and I did not know that woman that he never said her name.
See, that's the power of the film experience.
It's not a film. It's a shitty fan fiction.
Yes, but you have to read shitty fan fiction as producers and go, this is crap. I'm not going to make it. Maybe I will. No, maybe. No, I'm just going
to
rip it off.
Steal the idea and get someone else to write the script.
Exactly. I mean, hey, monkeys. Monkeys from Robert Townsend's, closet.
Robert Townsend.
Robert Townsend. We couldn't afford Robert Townsend, so we got Robert Townsend.
We got Meteor Man over
Meteor
here.
Man,
right
Meteor
right
Man. Chinatown. I'm sure somebody did that. Somebody probably is a producer.
You know what?
Like, give me Robert Townsend. He wrote Chinatown.
He's a pretty good writer. He'd be fine. All right.
Robert Townsend? Hollywood Shovel? Okay.
That ugly pink lamp they'd been given as a wedding present, for example, which would have, of course, ended in Ethan's understanding and very mutual satisfying evening of making up in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's the sexiest way to ever say that.
It's a robot way of making love.
Mutual satisfying evening.
Would you like a mutually satisfying evening, dear?
No, robot. No bad robot. I do not want it.
Oh.
Instead, Ethan had come home that night, late, as he warned, and quietly slipped into bed next to her. In the morning, they ate breakfast, read the paper, and basically went on just as before, only without the warmth.
Ooh.
They didn't have
a
whole lot of warmth.
I'm
going to
have each of
season.
You read. There's not a lot of dialogue, so I'm going to have you guys read the next. Just someone start reading the next paragraph.
All right, I got the next paragraph.
Okay.
It was quite frankly driving her mad. That's the end of that paragraph.
You did it.
That's one paragraph.
Marin, it's your turn.
Fortunately, they were due for a meeting with McIntyre at 5 o'clock that afternoon to discuss the mission and choose the other team members. Declan Gormley and Zen Lee, of course. Surely, that would force Ethan to address her new position in the IMF, wouldn't it? Maybe he would come to understand and accept her decision and, God forbid, even respect her on a professional level.
Wow.
No, wait.
That is so well done. compared to the shit that I'm doing, I am well done. I'm
a pro. Yeah, I come back every week to read the fiction.
I like Hoffman my line in, and then you just like yeah, you went extra on yours.
Actually, she knew that her presence at the meeting was hardly required. George and Ethan.
All right, Chris.
Where am I at, actually?
Actually, she knew.
Hold on. My eyes. I'm old. I got to take off my glasses. Actually, she knew that her presence at the meeting was hardly required. George and Ethan, both veteran point men, were more than capable of picking the rest of the crew themselves, but Manning, whether as a courtesy or a cruel joke, was uncertain. Had named her as one of the heads, and equal despite the fact that this was her first mission.
Wait, so they promoted a first-time agent to the same level as Ethan.
Well, and she's saying Benji's the same as Ethan.
All right, please go on.
He'd cited her past experience both as a thief and as an integral part of Operation Chimera as reason enough. Everyone knew that was a thin cover story.
She was a petri dish. Her involvement in Operation Chimera was she was the beaker that they carried it around in.
And she was the bait. So come on. She did nothing.
And I love it when a storyteller says, actually, because they've just thought of something as they're writing. And instead of writing it into the subtext, they're like, actually, she knew that her presence at the meeting was hardly required. Oh, you already read that. When 4 o'clock rolled around, Naya began wondering how she was going to broach the subject of getting to the meeting. Riding in one car certainly wouldn't entail stimulating conversation. Wouldn't entail stimulating conversation or conversation of any kind, really. But taking separate cards would mean something entirely different and much more unpleasant. What?
Well, Ethan always shows up to these things on his motorcycle.
Not to mention, provide grounds for speculation for anyone at IMF headquarters. Wait. So they know that they're together and they're fine with it, but if they take separate cars, there will be speculation at IMF that things aren't going well?
That's what it sounds like.
This is... Man, we are in Act 3 of this movie, because I don't know what is going on.
But the fact that IMF doesn't know that they live together is kind of weird.
I think it does.
Yeah.
Why don't you read this last one, Murren, and finish us out on a high note. We'll finish this out, and this will be the end of it.
Because
this is a lot of text. All right,
I got this. Ethan, however, had already considered much of this.
Bill Clinton.
Ethan, however, had already considered all this much in advance, and had asked McIntyre to meet at their apartment. George had agreed and resolved internally to make no judgment on the matter. But when Naya greeted him with a surprised, "Oh, hello! What are you doing here?" I don't know. She's very surprised.
I think that's Johann's.
Yeah.
Line.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's do that one again.
Naya greeted him with a surprised,
"Oh, hello! What are you doing here?"
He really couldn't help himself. Help himself. Wait, what? Resolved to make no judgment. Oh, so he made judgment on the matter when he saw it. So he couldn't help but make judgment on the matter. Ethan hadn't told her. And that certainly signified something. If they were having hard times relationship-wise, he definitely needed to keep his eye on it. Not because he would be able to swoop in on Naya. Ooh.
Ugh.
I don't like that. Contrary to popular belief, he did have a code of honor. But because personal problems tended to affect team cohesion. Team cohesion! and he'd be damned. Or, more likely, killed if he ignored the potential risks of that kind of conflict.
Being killed is a sort of damning.
Yeah.
That Ethan and Luther shouldn't be working together because they have a lot of, you know, team personal cohesion. Conflict in the team cohesion.
I hope that is the name of their group.
Team cohesion.
Hi, team everyone. Cohesion. Welcome, team cohesion.
I celebrate you.
That's where we're going to end this because, oh my God, I've never seen so much text. There needs to be more. And the next part is all talking. That was gobbledygook.
Were we just not talking?
Oh my god! Yeah, this next part. Oof.
What have we learned? What have we learned?
Don't write fan fiction.
Naya is really worried about how the IMF will see her and Ethan as, like, they're finding out that they're together, I guess.
Because she's a master thief, and because of her integral part of Operation Chimera.
Yeah, she's being brought onto the operation despite being.
And they're also going to find out that she lives with him, like we just did.
Yep. It wasn't clear before.
And I think that this thing could have done a lot better if Grammarly was around at this time.
Sure.
Is this show sponsored by Grammarly? Grammarly. What you need to make your fanfiction.
She probably just had Clippy. Clippy's like, hey.
I hear you're trying to make a Mission Impossible fanfiction.
Hey, everybody, I'm Clippy. I'm going to make you. You want to be mutually satisfied? That's another phrase for getting your boots down and getting dirty. Bumping uglies.
I think Clippy sounds kind of like Dwight the Tiger King. He's like a kind of like a high-pitched southern guy.
He kind of sounds like J.J. Abrams.
Right, no, he doesn't.
Oh, that's right. JJ's from Boston.
I'm from Kennebunkport. Oh, yeah, that's JJ Abrams.
JJ Abrams is JFK.
It's JJK. That's what we call him.
We constantly ask him to say chowder. JJ. Say chowder. Chowder.
I could write something a lot better than this. Really? I think you could, JJ. We have to agree. You would probably.
we saw the fan fiction that was Rise of Skywalker, so come on, JJ.
That's not my fault.
Uh-huh. I'm blaming Trevorrow for that one.
You can't even say his name. Stupid. So mean.
Colin has too many R's in his name. I can't say it.
He's such a little bitch, man.
It's like Trevor, come on. Tomorrow. It should be tomorrow, but it's not. It's like Trevor.
They've got a riff because Spielberg likes Trevorrow better than JJ.
An easy way to remember it is tomorrow is not how it sounds. It's more like Trivago. See? He just told you how to memorize Trevorrow's name. More like Trivago, less like tomorrow.
Gotcha. You seen that Trivago guy? He's pretty handsome.
Who's that?
I don't know. I'm trying to do the voice. I haven't had any practice.
Where's the Trivago guy?
Where's the Trivago guy?
45 minutes in and we haven't even done Tech of the Week yet. This is so long. Oh my god. I'll be cutting this one down, but oh my god.
It was the fan fiction.
All right. Well, fan fiction Friday always leaves us more confused than we ever were before.
What day is it?
We'll do a real quick.
We're going to forever.
We're going to jump in. We're going to get into some mutually beneficial. What was it again?
Team coercion.
Cohesion.
Team coercion.
No, team coercion. That's
coercion is a different thing.
Someone get Colin Trivago.
team coercion. Where's the coercion?
Coercion.
All right, team coercion. We're all going to jump into Tech of the App real quick. Here we go. All right, we're in Tech of the App.
All right.
That's McConaughey.
It depends on what your definition of mutually satisfying evening is. There's so many techs in this. Everyone just on three, we're each going to name the thing that we think is the coolest tech. One, two, three.
Vascular identification.
I was gonna say gun, but it was
those Minority Report track balls that Luther's using.
No, I forget those things, man. That was last week's. Those are last episodes. I'm all about that vascular ID.
Felicity, she's the tech of the app.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right.
Okay, that is good.
Her vascular system.
Yeah.
Look at those veins.
look at the veins.
Show me the veins.
Well, this is a good time to say thank you to you, Johan and Murren, for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Do you guys have anything you want to plug real quickly?
Finishing up ID 4 Minute, which is about Independence Day. I'm doing that with Matthew and Alex.
And not 4 minutes at a time? God damn
it. No. God. I'm so upset that you came up with a good idea.
ID 4 minutes at a time.
Yeah, and we're literally recording. We're at the end. We're literally recording the last three episodes. And then there's a good idea on how we could have recorded the entire thing.
Like I said, resurgence, man.
No, we're not doing resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
We actually did. We actually did a resurgence episode for April Fools. So instead of doing Independence Day, we did Resurgence instead.
Could anyone tell the difference?
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, because it went straight to credits for Resurgence because it's that much shorter than ID4.
Well, oh, Ben? Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm doing.
We going to do a voice? We're about to do a voice?
All right. All right. Here we go. I'm going to do Bill Clinton, Matthew McConaughey, and Philip Seymour Hoffman all at once.
Bill Clinton about high school girls, with that voice.
Here we go.
Are you doing them with your thing?
I'm taking out my rabbit's foot. I got my rabbit's foot right here. You want to see? I can't see that rabbit's foot. You want to take that out for
Murren,
me?
Stop showing me your rabbit's foot. Tell me what you do.
Make sure that they're 18. Make sure they're 18.
Okay, Jesus. Well, you know what I do. I do the thing, the other podcast with
the thing
Jonathan.
I
with that other guy.
With that other guy. I'm the other co-host.
With the fake rock.
Racer X and Bandolero.
Yeah. Oh, actually, when this comes out, I'll have debuted my new nickname. So I'm not Racer X anymore. I'm Gun Show.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Fake rock.
Yeah, by the time they hear this, I'll have established that on Fast Five.
Fine, then maybe I'll have a new nickname, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
I'm still Z3Y. License plate.
Yeah. That's the best. That's really the best nickname of the bunch. So you have to really explain it.
Yeah.
Yep, but Fast and Furious, one quarter movie at a time. Go listen to it. It's the other podcast that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did my nickname came out on Pepsi Thick.
Yes. Oh, an excellent
That's a classic. That's a classic app. Yeah. A good starting point, really. But yeah, by the time this comes out, we'll probably be like, I don't know, wrapping up Fast Furious 7 or something like that.
Yeah, we'll be five.
Oh, five. Okay,
we'll be close.
Well, I was assuming we're recording 3 months in advance. So
we're recording 4 weeks in advance.
Oh, that's pretty good. So we'll be wrapping up Fast 5, or getting toward that. It'll be fun. The Rock's coming.
He's coming. Well, thanks again for being on, Chris. Thanks as always. You can find us at MinuteImpossible.com. Go join our group, the Impossible Minute Force. It's super fun. We talk about stuff. We had a poll today. We've been yelling about whether
there's something stuck on a
chair
pole?
Or a barber's chair. No, that horrible dentist chair / barbershop from the beginning of the movie. So we're lots of conversations over there about spy movies. So come on over. And until next week, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Murren.
I've been Johan.
Where's the rabbit's foot?
Where's your rabbit's foot?
They stay the same age.
That's the great thing about rabbit's feet. I keep getting older and they stay the same age. This minute will self-destruct.
I think it self-destructed about 15, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, for sure.
I
that
fan
fiction
in
really
my pants.
Took it out. Took it in the nards.
See you next time on the show. Thank you.